Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Great to see you all here this morning. And to those online, good morning to you as well. We've come in the story of Ruth to possibly one of the most famous events. This moment is up there with Moses in the burning bush, with Daniel in the lion's den, with Jonah in the whale. This is Ruth and Boaz at the threshing floor. But there's a reason this story doesn't get quite the same run in Sunday school as the ones that I've just mentioned. It's a story that is charged with sexual tension and ambiguity. So I'm excited that we all get to jump in this morning to this. I don't know if you've seen that. There are memes out there and parodies of this story about single Christian women waiting for their Boaz to come. It's interesting, though, because this story isn't primarily about romance. More than romance, it's about responsibility. And even more than responsibility, what this story is really about is about home. It's about home. So let's just take a quick recap of where we've come to so far. So there's a woman called Naomi who loses her husband and her two sons. And one of the wives of one of her sons is a woman called Ruth, and Ruth stays with Naomi. And then last week, we saw how Ruth finds favor and provision and protection from this man Boaz as she goes to his field. And as Sam talked about last week, that Boaz is a man of standing, a man of wealth. Ruth in this story is nobody. She's the complete bottom of the social ladder here, and yet Boaz invites her in. It's an incredible moment that we saw last week of this rich favor and blessing and generosity of Boaz towards this woman Ruth. But it's only temporary. So Ruth's situation isn't resolved yet. She's found this kind of situational favor from Boaz, but her long-term future is still up in the air. And so, at the beginning of chapter 3, which is what we're looking at this morning, we find this in verse 1. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for." And the Hebrew word there for home is actually literally the word for rest. And so this word has the connotation not just of home as in a house, not just a dwelling place for you, but Naomi's desire is that Ruth would find a place of rest, a place of belonging, a place of security, a place of provision. And that security from attack, from harm, from the threat of danger, even from the threat of possible isolation. It's rest from her worry, from her anxiety, from her uncertainty about her survival, about her future. And it's also provision of food, of shelter, of clothing, but also of love and of care. And in these times where we are locating this story, for a woman, the way to find those things was through marriage to a man. And so Naomi's desire is that Ruth would find home and that she would find it with Boaz. She comes up with an unusual plan as we continue reading from verse 2. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. So it's an unusual plan. And there are obviously cultural things going on in this plan, some of which even all the commentators who've studied this still don't entirely know what is going on. They don't know whether the reference to feet is literally to feet or whether that is a euphemism. It's this moment where Naomi has developed a plan for Ruth, essentially to go to Boaz and appeal to him for him to take her as his wife. And the interesting thing about this is that it's quite a dangerous plan if you think about it, especially if you think about it in light of what's going on in our society at the moment. Like, who would send a young woman into an isolated place with an older man and have her lay down? So there's a kind of shocking element in this story. But we see from the story so far that Naomi completely trusts the character of Boaz. And he also trusts the character, she also trusts the character of Ruth. So, from verse 5, Ruth replies, "I will do whatever you say." So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." So Ruth does it. This plan of Naomi's. Ruth goes and obediently fulfills the instructions that had been given to her. And again, there is a small element of romance in this. But really, Ruth is appealing to Boaz's responsibility to her. There's a reference here to Boaz being the guardian redeemer, kinsman redeemer. This was a phrase in Hebrew called the goel. And in the Israelite law, there was a provision that anyone, if any of your relatives came under hardship, if they lost their home, if they were widowed or they became a slave, that a family member could redeem them from that difficult situation. So God had actually built it into the law of his people that no one should be without home. If any Israelite was to find themselves in hardship, that a family member could redeem them from that. And for Ruth and Naomi, their understanding was that Boaz was her closest relative, male relative. And so she was appealing to that responsibility that Boaz has in the law. And if you think about it, how different is that from our society? Where in Western society, it's often quite like every person for themselves, every family unit for themselves, and if you happen to miss out, or if you're not married, or you're divorced, or widowed, or if you become poor, then often there is this sense of, well, I'm okay, and your bad luck is your bad luck, and maybe the government will help you. or there are probably organizations out there who help people like you. But for the Israelites, the responsibility was very much on family. If anyone in your family was in trouble, it was your responsibility to go and help them from that. So how does Boaz respond? In verse 10, "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." The interesting thing about this is that Boaz, kind of surprisingly, sees Ruth's offer to him as a gift, not as a burden. You would maybe think that Boaz, who kind of has this obligation imposed upon him by the law, might kind of look at Ruth and go, "Oh, another person to look after? Another mouth to feed?" Now, granted, she was probably quite beautiful. And for Boaz, there were some motivations there that might have helped his response. But he didn't respond out of that. He actually saw it as a kindness. That Ruth didn't try to find a younger husband from the town, but actually she sought after her family member. And I think in here we find a clue that actually for Boaz as well, he is having the opportunity to experience a greater sense of home. Boaz was wealthy. Boaz owned land and had people working for him for it. He was of noble character. He had respect and esteem in the town. But you can have possessions, you can have honor, but we all know in order to have a full sense of home, you need love. You need connection. You need relationships that matter. And so Ruth actually is offering Boaz an opportunity to have a more complete sense of home. And again, how do we compare that to our society? The Australian dream, to have a house, to own property, right? That's kind of the primary thing that we have as a measure of our lives is property. But we're reminded here and throughout God's word that home is more than a house, it's more than a place. Home is about rest. It's about belonging. It's about security. It's about provision. It's about having people to share it with, to share your life with. What good is it to have a house, money, security, but no one to share it with? And this isn't, even though in this story we're talking about a spouse relationship, it goes beyond that as well. It's a network of people through which we can share our lives. But there's a twist in the story, because Boaz, even though Naomi and Ruth believed him to be their nearest family member, Boaz actually says there is someone else who is closer, more closely related than I. So, from verse 14, "So Ruth lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And Boaz said, 'No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor.' He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." So, we end on a cliffhanger in chapter 3. Will Boaz be the kinsman redeemer for Ruth or not? And you're going to have to wait till next week to find that out. Or I suppose you all have Bibles, you can just read for yourself between now and then. But in any case, for the purpose of today's message, we leave on that cliffhanger. Now, when I think about myself, I was thinking about it during the week. So far in my life, I've had 15 homes in 3 different countries. I'm a citizen of 3 nations. Gillian and I consider ourselves to have 2 homes. We have our home in Sydney and our home in Ohio. And so for us and for myself, I've had a lot of opportunity to think about, what does home mean? What is it that causes us to identify somewhere or something or someone as home? I do think one part of it is a place to live. But again, I've lived in 15 different places, and I can tell you it actually doesn't matter what the place is. It doesn't matter whether it's a house or apartment. It doesn't matter how many bedrooms it has. All you need for home is a place to live. It's you that makes it a home. You also need people to share your life with. You also need to have safety and opportunity. And you need connection to that place. Even something like for me, when I come back to Sydney from the times when I've lived overseas, even having a team, the Dragons, reinforces my sense of home, even if they're terrible. There's something about home that has that sense of connection, of belonging, of this is my place, these are my people, this is where I belong. Currently in our world, there are 80 million displaced people. And out of that, there are 35 million refugees and asylum seekers. And there are 45 million internally displaced people, people who are still in their country but can't live in their home. There was a report that said harassment of religious groups, religious people, is happening in 90% of the countries in our world. And we know that throughout our world, women especially continue to experience economic disadvantages compared to men. And so even though we all have this deep sense of longing for home, we live in a world in which many people don't get to experience that. And I think that's why our hearts are so moved with the lighthouse. These children didn't have home. They didn't have a place to live, but also they didn't have rest. They didn't have security. They weren't provided for. They didn't have a place where they belonged, where they would be loved and cared for. And so how much do our hearts rejoice when we see them have that now? Those kids in the lighthouse have home. And if we think about Australia, There are reports that have said 1 in 10 Australians say they lack social support. 1 in 4 Australians would say they're currently experiencing an episode of loneliness. And 1 in 2 Australians say that they feel lonely for at least one day each week. We all have that deep longing for home, but so much in our society doesn't enable us to experience it. The individualism that we have, the desire for wealth and success and status that takes us away, actually, from what we really want and really need. We need home. It's interesting, isn't it? During COVID, we were kind of forced for a period of time, and around the world more than us here in Australia, to kind of shelter in place, to stay in our homes, to protect ourselves. And isn't it interesting how even though people in their homes were safe, they were provided for, but you had this huge wave of dissatisfaction, of unhappiness, of people saying, actually, what I need more than just safety, what I just need more than just my practical needs provided for, is I need connection. I need love. I need meaningful relationships. I need human contact. I need to know that I belong not just in a building, in a geographic space. I need to know that I belong in a community. As Christians, we are called to provide home for those who don't have it. Whether it's refugees, whether it's people who are being persecuted, whether it's women, whether it's the poor, whether it's the isolated. Temporary acts of kindness are good, like what we saw in chapter 2. Boaz had a temporary act of kindness towards Ruth, and that helped her in that moment. But her real need, her deep need, was for home. And that's true of the people that we know who are in need. Temporary acts of kindness help, and they are good, and they can help people get through a moment. But what people really need is home. What they really need is rest and security and provision and belonging, and that requires more of us. For Boaz to say, all right, Ruth, come off, you know, the side of the field, and you can glean after my workers, and you can take some barley home. That's one thing. But for Boaz to actually then say, actually, I invite you into my home as my family. I will care for you. I will protect you. I will love you for the rest of my life. That's a whole other thing. But that's the kind of love that we as Christians are called to love others with. Beyond temporary acts of kindness and into the giving of ourselves and the sharing of our homes and our lives and our love. What I find interesting and encouraging about this, in our evening service, we're looking at the book of Ezekiel, and last Sunday, Paul preached on Ezekiel chapter 16. And in Ezekiel chapter 16, God speaks these words to the people of Israel. He says, later I passed by, and when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your naked body. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the sovereign Lord. And you became mine. Boaz's act towards Ruth gives us a glimpse into God's act towards us. that we were in hardship and difficulty because of our own sin. We were helpless to get ourselves out of this situation, but God in His love spreads the corner of His garment over us. The same word for garment there is the word for wing. We are given refuge under the wings of God. And God sent His Son, our relative. In Hebrews, Jesus is described as our brother. God sent Jesus as our guardian redeemer to purchase us back from being lost in our sin with a debt we couldn't pay. Jesus paid our debt and redeemed us and drew us back into home with God. That's our hope. And that's the promise that Jesus came to bring, that we are not lost, that God's love for us doesn't just amount to temporary acts of kindness, but God in His love spreads His garment over us. He invites us to find refuge in His wings, and He says, "You are invited into my home forever." Jesus has redeemed you. What a gift of grace that is. What a gift of love that is from our God, that He would so graciously and sacrificially bring us, His children, back into His home, our home, where our deepest longings will be met for all eternity. As I was thinking about this message this week, I thought of a song. It's a song from, I think, 2004. So I was in my early 20s. And it was a really significant song for me at the time, because it captured this idea of home. That home for Christians is in God's dwelling place. That our hope as Christians is that when Jesus returns, our brother, our kinsman redeemer, will bring us with joy into the home of our Father, and we will experience perfect rest, perfect security, perfect provision, perfect belonging for all of eternity. So as we come to an end of our service this morning, I want to invite Lawson and Brent up. And I'm going to sing this song for you, Home. And I hope as you listen to these words, as you see the words up on the screens, that your heart will be uplifted with hope. That you would realize the incredible treasure and blessing that God invites us to through Jesus. Why don't you stand as well in this moment?
Into your courts I run with praises flowing from my heart. Every day I wake, I sing your song. It's the anthem of my life. I want to spend my days in your presence, Lord. Bow before your throne. In the house of God is where I find my peace. It's where I find my home. It's heaven. One day, Lord, I will. Worship at your feet. before your throne. In the house of God is where I find my peace. It's where I find my home is heaven. One day, Lord, I will live in your courts. You'll find me in worship at your feet. Hide me now in the shadow.
Jesus said these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's home has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Father God, we thank you for your love. We thank you that in our humble position, though we were lost and destitute because of our sin, we thank you that you have spread the corner of your garment over us. That you have invited us into your family, into your home. We thank you, Jesus, our brother, that you redeemed us, that you paid the debt we couldn't pay, and that you welcome us with joy into the Father's house. Father, I pray that we would live our lives with that hope and that joy before us, that there is somewhere that we belong, there is somewhere that we can find rest and peace and security and provision, and it's in you, God. And God, would you help us also to love with that love, to think of those in our world who don't have home, who are left alone, who are left without shelter or food or love or care. God, would you help us through your Spirit to be kind in individual moments to those who are in need. But beyond that, Lord, would you help us to extend home to those who need it. May we, out of the abundance of blessings that we have received from you, may we share, may we invite, may we restore in your name, Jesus, that we would rejoice for all of eternity in the Father's house. We praise you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being with us this morning. Have a great week. See you next week.